Hi, ACC family. My name is Rick McKee. I am currently the water polo coach or an assistant water polo coach at the Air Force Academy. I've been doing that for the past 6 years. Prior to that, I was with the men's Olympic water polo team for 10 years. I have been so blessed to be able to be part of three Olympic Games. It began in Beijing in 2008, went to London in 2012, and concluded my Olympic experience in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro. All three Olympics were fantastic, very different, many things learned. We actually won a silver medal in Beijing. Olympic athletes to me are people that have dedicated themselves to a single goal. They work hard. Everything they do actually is to obtain that gold medal. Their character, their work ethic, all of it is something that has always impressed me. And to be part, again, to be part of three Olympic teams was amazing. Team concepts and team philosophies, what makes a team, has always been a passion of mine. It's something that I brought to the Air Force Academy. It was part of what I did at with the Olympic team. Even prior to that, when I was coaching high school, being part of the team was something that I focused on, because water polo, like most team sports as well as families and churches, the team concepts are paramount. You can't have a winning team unless everybody is involved and on the same page, unless they are working toward the same goal. It's bar none something that has to happen in order to be successful as a team. Everybody has a role within that team. Not everybody can be a goalkeeper. Not everybody on a team can be the quarterback or a running back. The linemen are just as important in football as the quarterback is. And so knowing what your role is, giving yourself over to that role as much as you can, is something that has to happen within a team. Within a church, it's the same thing. Everybody has to know what the gifts they have that God has given to them in order to fulfill the role that God has for us as members of a church. Brendan and I have been part of ACC for, I think, about 5 years now. And we believe very strongly in the ministry of ACC. We wouldn't be at the church if that weren't the case. We both are involved, and we would invite all of you to be involved with us in fulfilling the roles that God has given to us at a church that is so dynamic and so good in reaching out to people all over the world. And so please come and join us.
I think it's very exciting to actually know someone who has been engaged in the Olympic experience. What a rare, unusual, and special encounter. And in that sense, I'd like you to be alert to some of my own Olympic experiences. You may not have known this about me, but you should. Here I am when I was playing USA basketball. What a grand encounter to achieve a gold medal. You see me here in the Olympic shot put record, 77 feet 3 and 3 quarters inches. That was quite a heave. Oh, and I so enjoyed my time on the U.S. women's gymnastics team. That balance beam was a favorite of mine. You know, at this stage in my life, when I try to point my toes like that, I get kind of a Charlie horse back here. I was also privileged to compete in the nation of France in the Olympic pole vault. Je disais bonsoir à ma petite garçon, la passante à ta mante, et vantait le fumé, les hommes, t'adais, adieu, adieu, adieu. It's breathtaking to launch oneself more than 19 feet off the ground. But the most fun I ever had at the Olympics was when I competed in Japan's sumo wrestling team. It took a while for me to get big enough and strong enough, but it was indeed impressive, and I could scare people away just grunting at them. I can see by the look on your face you had no idea of my Olympic involvement. You were in the presence of an Olympian. Across the world, the Olympics are known as a treasured experience, going back 3,000 years to their origin in Greece. And when you have met someone who has competed, when you meet those who are in the game, you've encountered some very special people. Let me welcome you. Those joining us online today, along with those at our Westside campus, among those in the room, we are an assembly of Team Jesus. And I'm going to do my best today in this third and final sermon in this series to convince you that you are in the game. We're using the Olympic experience to help tell the story of this church, that we're part of the team with a world-influencing assignment, Team Jesus. That team is 2,000 years old. And if you meet someone who's on that team, you have met someone very special. I remind you where we have been in this series. We started to understand that you are chosen. God has called you into ministry. You are chosen. Secondly, you are gifted. You are gifted by the blessings and talents of your life. And then finally, today, you're in the game. Now, when you listened to Pastor Brian over the last couple of weeks, he described that this is a rare and unusual church. And I would affirm that it surely is. See, for many churches, the active engagement is at about 30% of their people who serve in a supporting ministry. We keep track of such things. We pay attention to that on purpose. And we're very deliberate about the process. And ACC's numbers are just short of 60% of our people involved. I mean, if you were to gather a collection of church leaders into the room, inform them of that fact, they would say, "Wow, that's pretty unusual." Indeed it is. But our purposes today have nothing to do with seeking the envy of other church leaders. This is about our church, this gathering of people, and the burden of the call of ministry that we collectively cherish. And when you look at those statistics, we notice both the affirmation of the 6 of 10 people who are pouring into the broadening effort of this work. But we also see the 4 in 10 who are not yet in. And when we look at that, we actually observe the wonder of the potential. Extraordinary people. Gifted, dynamic, high capacity, capable, the tremendous field of potential, and we are calling you in for the welfare of the church, the stunning giftedness, the capacity, the aptitude. Find something. Among the many efforts that you engage in life, find some way to pour back into the church that is pouring into you. Let me say it again. Find a way to pour back into the church that's pouring into you. Allow me to make my appeal today to you in a somewhat personal way. I'd like to invite you to peek behind the curtain. A peek behind the curtain. I am 66 years old. I have been preaching and leading in the church since I was 22. That's 44 years involved in ministry. I have learned some things about the church in that time. As a pastor on a Sunday morning, I look around the room and I actually attempt to stare into the faces of the people assembled. And in that, I contemplate what I know. When I look around and I see the faces, I think about what I know and then all the things I don't know. Life challenges, physical risk and ailments, relationships in jeopardy? Financial strain? Careers under pressure? Worries mounting? Children and families facing crisis? Mental health disorders, loneliness, depression, lostness regarding salvation and the weight and the gravity of heaven and hell? Organizational chaos, world events that make us suspicious at the least, terrorize us at the most, the latest fearful diagnosis. I mean, the list goes on. When you start to collect it, add it up, it's monumental. I sense being overwhelmed by the call of ministry, the needs of people. It's endless. Could I confess to you one of my greatest frustrations and burdens in ministry? It has to do with the size of the task and the limits of the vessel. Vessel. It is a word that the Apostle Paul used to describe the container that houses our personal ministry. This mind, this body, these gifts, these talents are contained in a vessel. And he images it, quite a fragile vessel. The kind that can have cracks and chips, the kind that can smash into 1,000 pieces if you dare to get careless. Listen to his description, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to lift up some of his phrasing here. He says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, God has called us into this assignment by his mercy, oh, we do not lose heart. Oh, you can tell that he's struggling here. I'm not totally certain, but it appears to me that Paul may be attempting to encourage himself as well as those who are involved in ministry to give confidence to others as well. Move on to verse 5. He says, for what we preach, it's not a message about us, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. That's the equilibrium of the moment, the understanding of where you are, how you fit in the grand scheme of things. Jesus Christ is the message, and we are his servants for Christ's sake. Oh, but there's a real problem with this grand calling. Verse 7, he describes it. But we have this treasure of ministry, in earthen vessels. Let me see if I could translate that concept into a modern day Main Street idea. Earthen vessels. I would translate it like this. This preacher person, he shows up in front of me on a Sunday morning, and quite frankly, he's not all that much. At this point, I want to pause in the text and offer an image from antiquity. Last March, I was with a study group among the ruins of ancient city of Ephesus, where Paul wrote many of the words engaged in this ministry. A short distance from the downtown of that city, in the hills, you will find a cave where early century Christians left behind many key expressions of their faith and their heritage. Frescoes adorn the wall, giving reflection to their life and what they were encountering. They were a makeshift hideout for Christians who were searching for a place of worship so that they did not have to encounter the persecution. So they hid. The cave, it provided such a place. So left behind are many frescoes. They tell a story. Here's an interesting story. It appears to be the only credible image on the planet of what Paul may have looked like. The inscription there says, Paulos. Now, what we don't know, that image, is it drawn from someone's description of what they saw, handed down to generation or two? We don't really know, but I want to tell you what really is unusual about the context of this, time, place, geography. Around the city of Ephesus, there are all kinds of images, idols, icons, statues. They line the streets, the marketplace, the agora. It was common expression. The sculptors would take figures from the empire and the region and the city. You take someone who you value, and then you erect a statue, a monument to them. And when the monument was built, it was often built far more than life size, double, triple. You would also exaggerate the features that were prominent in them, the flowing hair, the muscular build, the strong jaw. You exaggerate the characteristics as a matter of honor to venerate them. The city was filled with larger than life images. That's how they honored the people they revered. But Paul is strikingly unimpressive, given the context of the day, which might lead one to believe that they were not attempting to exaggerate his traits, his physical characteristics at all, but to portray him as he was, smaller than the woman next to him, balding, thinning hair, bulging eyes, ears flaring out, pencil nose, gangly limbs and long fingers. This beleaguered man, holding in his lap the scriptures, declaring, preaching the word of God, that's the man who marks their memories. I take you back to the word that he's describing here with his own language. He suggests that actually not being all that much is actually the key advantage to the gospel. Verse 7, but we have this treasure, this ministry, in earthen vessels. And here's why. To show that the transcendent power belongs to God, not us. That's why the precious ministry of the Christian gospel has been given into two feeble hands, because there is a power that transcends human frailty. It's common people who hold an uncommon faith, an uncommon purpose, that exposes the true strength and influence of the Lord's church. Those willing to do the right thing, knowing that God empowers, God honors, God himself expands and impacts the results at levels far beyond us. Could you peek behind the curtain? I acknowledge Paul's frustration regarding ministry. So much to do, so little ability, so weighty a message, so feeble the messenger, so timeless the truth, so short-lived the spokesman, so perfect a savior, so filled with hypocrisy as one who dares to speak his message. I perceive that he's talking about all of us who are involved in ministry of the Lord's church, whether those who have a vocational calling or those involved in lay ministry, everybody in this room. This is not a 6-to-10 ratio. His point is, if anything good could be poured out of a weak vessel, everyone would be convinced that it is due only to the power of God. The weakness of the vessel is plain. The marvel of surprise has got to be the Lord. A peek behind the curtain. One of the ministry frustrations I faced early on was the realization that I could not meet all the needs of the people in the congregation. I didn't have the capacity to be everybody's best friend or everybody's prayer partner, every teenager substitute parent who was struggling, or every grown man's personal confidant. And that reality about limitation is excruciating for a pastor, a minister. Because the truth is, everybody in the church needs a best friend, a personal prayer partner, someone they can count on without fail. And the distance between my limitations and the legitimate need of people, it produces a very anxious heart, an anxious personal heart for a minister. To be honest with you, it drives some ministers a bit crazy. They seem to have, they contain this deep heart of compassion. They mix it with their own heavy sense of obligation and responsibility, and then they seem to balance it poorly. And then, of course, you mix in a little of their own selfish, egotistical longings to feel needed by others, and you have this perfect recipe for insanity. I have witnessed pastors handle this very poorly, threading them to the edge of burnout. And I've witnessed pastors foolishly who burn the candle at both ends. Eventually the wax melts away, the fire goes out. In 44 years of this work, I can take you to a long list of colleagues who are smoldering wicks. A peek behind the curtain. An early lesson about being a vessel came to me when I was about 23, maybe 24. I sat on the edge of a hospital bed staring into the face of someone who was losing their hair to chemotherapy. Her name was Mary. During those moments, that dear patient, this church member, my church member, has the ever-intensifying, she hears the ever-intensifying sound of a death clock that is winding tighter and louder with every tick. Peering into the valley of the shadow, she began to utter very bold questions. Questions so daring as to make the wisdom volumes of the universe appear like nothing better than nursery rhymes. Those wisdom volumes might speak audaciously of measurements and calculations and theories and philosophies, but somehow they offer no more comfort than Little Henny Penny or the Gingerbread Man. That thin-haired lady starts asking her questions. And in those moments as a minister, you swallow your arrogance as a pastor, and you wonder why in the world you ever gave anyone the impression that you could somehow speak on behalf of God. How dare you? A vessel. And a cracked one at that. A peek behind the curtain. Most heartbreaking to me are the situations in the church where people fall through the cracks. They're typically situations you never hear about until after the fact. Seemingly happy marriages that disintegrate overnight, and no one knew the couple was having problems. Families on the fringe in the church, no one knew or how to reach out to them. So finally they leave the church lonely and rejected, and most in the congregation don't even care. They just fell through the cracks. See, the fact is, within this fellowship all around, there are hurting and struggling people falling through the cracks, and God's provision or safety net for these folks is the church. The dynamic church, the fruitful church, the faithful church, the purposeful church, those of us who make up the body of Christ. But when the church body does not function properly, a lot of people fall through the cracks. But when we who make up the church are functioning properly, each of us develops this wonderful thing called a ministry sensitivity. It's a stunning thing among a community. A sense of ownership on this precious body. We learn how to recognize needs, and we take initiative to reach out to meet those needs. Famous preacher Dwight L. Moody was once chastising his congregation when he said, "A great many people have a false idea about the church. They have the idea that the church is a place to rest in. To get into a nicely cushioned pew, to contribute to charities, to listen to the minister, to do their share, to keep the church out of bankruptcy is all they really want. The idea of work for them, actual work in the church, it just really never even entered their minds." See, in other words, there are some who don't see the church as a place to exercise their God-given abilities on behalf of others or in service to the Lord. Find a way to pour into the people and the place that is pouring into you. And the truth of the matter is, unless everyone in this room gets involved in ministry, a lot of people fall through the cracks. I think the key to personal ministry is found in the words of the Apostle Paul when he was writing Christians in the city of Rome. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and following. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with the many members, the different parts, and these members do not all have the same function. But so in Christ, we who are many, we form this one body. And each member belongs to all of the others. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Understand that that sentence refers to all believers. There's no exceptions. The point is, every Christian has the ability to serve. If a man's gift is prophesying, truth speaking, let him use it proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, goodness sakes, have the man courage. If it's contributing to the needs of the saints, let them be generous. If it's leadership, let them govern. If it's to show mercy, let them do it with cheer. Don't be content just to look out for your own interests, but take it upon yourselves. Take the initiative, in fact, go out of your way to look out for the interests, the concerns, the needs of others. This is how Jesus intended the church to function. A peek behind the curtain. Well, if ministry is left up to the staff, a lot of people fall through the cracks. If ministry is left to the elders alone, the education teachers alone, if ministry is left to the leaders alone, a lot of people fall through the cracks. Pour into the place and the people who are seeking to pour into you.
Hi, my name is Maddie. I've served in the cafe for 4 months.
Hi, my name is Todd Dodge, and I serve in the children's ministry, one of our fifth grade teachers.
Good morning. I'm Jenny Kerr, and I've been serving in children's ministry for about a year now.
And I serve to help support our student ministry because it's been such a big part of my life.
I do it because I absolutely love spending time with the kids. It is so much fun to watch them just learn and grow throughout the year, and I would highly encourage any of you that are thinking about it to give it a try.
This has been a blessing because I just enjoy seeing the children's eyes light up when they hear the message of how God loves them, how He came to save them, and how their life is changed.
I think one of the most important features is to help the communication be clear and to understand what it is we're actually talking about. So I want to end this today with some very practical, functional application. Would you reach into your bulletin and pull out this orangish colored sheet, whatever that is, okay? I want to just actually walk down this and tell you what this is about in hopes that you would be stirred to say, you know what, that relates to me. To my colleague. Pull the sheet out. I just want to walk with you through this. You start by putting your name down, but let's talk about how this happened. First of all, let me suggest one idea. Once a month. That is the general thinking of our engagement of ministry here. Now, we've got all kinds of people that serve on a regular basis every week, and sometimes three times on Wednesday. We've got all kinds of people like that. But the general entry level, we say once a month. I want to walk you through this list. First of all, it begins, you'll notice, with children's ministry, student ministry, young adults. That's a call to pour in to the generation that's following you. How many of you are excited about having to raise kids in this day and age? Are you kidding me? Find a way to invest in the generation that follows you. We have tremendous children's, student, young adult ministry. Look down the list. Could one of them be you? Then it goes to this group called First Impressions, the Connection Center, Welcome Call Team, people that bake goods for a first-time visitor, the first encounter, the people that meet you at the door, the people that serve communion in these services and facilitate the needs there. Once a month. Come on, man. And then there's Connect Group, ABF, Adult Bible Fellowship Leaders, or Life Group Leaders, to have a life group in your home. Maybe that's your calling. Pastoral Care Ministry. We actually help people attach with those who are elderly who can't come to church anymore. We may watch us online, but we attach those relationships and help people engage in pouring into the needs of others. Turn the page. Safety and Services. Safety has to do with our protection team, those orange or yellow vested people that partner with our officers on campus. The parking team, the red vested people out guiding and managing traffic. Coffee team that provides coffee for every of our service. Communion team that prepares the emblems on a weekly basis. Child care events that are ongoing. If you have interest in missions, multiple events that you could engage there. There's men's ministry and women's ministry, a variety. Look down the list. The worship experience is highly functional, highly busy with a lot of people pouring in. If you have tech specialties, my goodness, pour that in not only to the presentation in the room, but to all the electronics and all the technical things that are happening as we produce this and go online. Facilities, we have two campuses. Lots of things that are happening here and at our Westside campus as well. Hospitality, all kinds of events that we engage. The kitchen team, the organization team, prayer ministry, people who pray without ceasing, in a sense, for what happens around this church family. Maybe you don't have the energy to engage your physical work, but you can get on your knees in the corner and pray about these people. You see service at Westside. So let me talk about the mechanics. You actually think through the deliberateness of the list. Second, then, you would take this and place it in a white basket in the back of this room. Or, if you're online, you could use the code that's shown on the screen to share your interest. Now, what happens from there? Once this information is gathered, we'll actually call you back. People like me will call you, and you don't answer your phone because I have an Iowa phone number and you think I'm a scammer. But you actually answer your phone, okay? It's Dave from Iowa who's trying to call and finish. But we engage the process of you tell me what you have in mind and what description is necessary. How can I help you understand what happens? And then we help you get connected to the leader of that group, the training of that group, and moving into the schedule of that group once a month. What an entry point. I'd encourage you to step in and serve the ministry that's searching to seek and save and serve you. I want to invite you into the life of a very rare and unusual church and remind you, you're in the game. Let's bow together as we pray, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a time that we can think deliberately about what it is to give our gifts, talents, and abilities for the welfare of your church. And though we are but cracked vessels, your divine purpose shows us that you bring a resolve that's far beyond our abilities, and so we're grateful to be a part of a church like this. Bless us as we serve. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.